Lowe's early Black Friday deals are going fast. Don't miss up to 50% off select major appliances. Plus, up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. And with Christmas around the corner, you're going to need more string lights, right? Save $4 on GE LED 100-count string lights, now just $5.98. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online. After midnight.
The first time he met Fred, he didn't even know he was meeting a ghost. It was the mid-1970s, long before the narrator of this story was born. A young Vietnam veteran, his father, had just rented a small apartment in town. The night was still, the hall smelled of old carpet and cigarette smoke. And as he reached for the front door to step outside, the knob refused to turn. He yanked harder, confused, until he noticed what looked like a man's shadow leaning against the other side of the door, pinning it shut. Then, just as suddenly, a gunshot cracked the air, and a woman screamed somewhere outside. By instinct, the veteran threw his weight against the stubborn door again. This time, it flew open easily. He sprinted outside to find a man lying on the ground beside his car, shot by a neighbor during some late-night dispute over blaring television. If he'd made it to his car a minute earlier, he realized he would have been caught in the line of fire. From that day forward, he believed something unseen had stopped him at the door, had saved his life. That something became Fred. He never learned what Fred really was or where he came from. All he knew was that after that night, strange things kept happening. Doors sticking, lights flicking, that same vague sense of being shepherded away from danger. One night, he decided to ask his unseen companion directly. He left a pencil and sheet of paper on the table with a note. "Who are you? Why are you here?" By morning, there was a single word scrawled on the page in rough block letters. F-R-E-D. And so Fred stayed. He followed the family from one home to the next, a shadow they learned to address as if he were a house guest. Before each move, the father would grin and say, "Come on, Fred." Time to go, and as far as they could tell, Fred always came along. Years later, the narrator was 5 or 6, small enough to still spend Saturday mornings planted in front of cartoons on the TV, wrapped in a blanket on the carpet of their mobile home. That particular morning, the sky outside darkened as a summer storm rolled in. Rain lashed the thin windows, the power flickered and went out entirely, plunging the room into a muffled gray gloom. Both parents were still asleep down the narrow hallway. He huddled deeper under the blanket, trying to make himself small against the sudden silence. That's when he heard it, heavy running footsteps pounding across the floor. His father was a tall man with size 13 boots, but when he peeked out from his cocoon, expecting to see his dad, he saw instead a pitch-black shadow dart from the hallway, cross the living room, and vanish into the small, half-bath addition by the kitchen. He yanked the blanket over his head and didn't dare move until his father finally emerged, asking if he was all right, apologizing for having slept through the storm. As he grew up, Fred became an accepted part of family lore. In their homes, faucets sometimes twisted on by themselves, especially after a guest scoffed aloud that ghosts weren't real. They laughed it off as Fred's idea of a prank. For the most part, he was harmless, even comforting. But the narrator would learn that not every spirit they encountered was as peaceable as Fred. About 5 years before he told this story, he and his fiancée moved into a new apartment to start their life together. Almost immediately, he began having nightmares. A pale, grief-stricken woman clutching a baby and screaming at him to get out. At first, he chalked it up to stress, the nerves of a big life change. But soon he started seeing her while awake, her outline flitting in doorways, her sobs whispering from corners. Instead of retreating, he challenged her, shouting into the empty apartment that it was his home now, and daring her to do her worst. That was a mistake. One night in the shower, the air suddenly dropped to an icy chill, and he felt an invisible force shove him hard against the tiled wall. He fled dripping and terrified, drove across town to his father's house, and spilled the whole story. His father listened gravely, then offered a simple instruction. Spend the night here, but in the morning, go back and bring Fred with you. So he did. Standing on the porch of the haunted apartment at dawn, he spoke aloud. Fred, come on, brother. I need your help at my place. Something in the air shifted, as though unseen footsteps fell in beside him. When he slid the key into the lock and pushed, a blast of frigid wind slammed the door back in his face. The knob refused to budge no matter how he twisted it. From inside came the sounds of chaos, furniture crashing, objects hurled against the walls, disembodied voices shouting over one another. Neighbors poked their heads out into the hall, wide-eyed, and someone dialed the police. Even with two officers adding their strength, the door would not open. They wrestled with it for nearly 40 minutes before it suddenly popped free as though nothing had been wrong at all. The officers swept through the rooms first, expecting to find a wreck, only to find everything perfectly in place, not a lamp tipped, not a cushion askew. They left scratching their heads, offering no explanation. That night, after he and his fiancée returned, he caught sight of a tall, black, man-shaped shadow moving in the kitchen out of the corner of his eye. And in that instant, he understood. Fred had been there. Fred had fought the angry woman that haunted the apartment and forced her back into whatever corner she came from. For the next 2.5 years, they lived in a fragile truce. Every so often, the woman's presence would return, heard weeping in another room, or glimpsed as a flash of white and gray. But each time she surfaced, Fred would appear soon after, as if checking in to keep her at bay. Curiosity finally led him to research the area. He learned that the lake outside their building hadn't always been there. It was created when Henry Ford dammed the Huron River to power one of his plants decades earlier. The land beneath the waterline had once been farmland. The local story told of a farmer's young wife, a woman from New York who hated the rural life and resented her unexpected pregnancy. When the child was born, her brothers came to take the baby away. And in desperation, the woman fled with the infant and disappeared. Some believed she'd fallen from the rocky bluff into the fast-moving river. Her body and the baby swept downstream and never recovered. He began to suspect the weeping woman in his nightmares, the one who had screamed for him to leave, might be the tragic farmer's wife, still roaming the shoreline decades after the water rose over her home. Fred remained their unseen ally through all of it, flicking on faucets to make his presence known, shouldering open jam doors, and apparently fighting battles no living neighbor ever witnessed. They moved again eventually, and once more he remembered to call out, "Come on, Fred. Time to go." He swears Fred still follows. For weeks after that first violent encounter in the shower, the apartment felt as though it were holding its breath. The fiancée kept a brave face, but she jumped at creaks in the walls and refused to be alone. There after dark, he tried to convince himself it had just been a stress-induced nightmare. Yet every now and then, always when the rooms were at their stillest, there'd be the sound of something shifting on the counter, or the sensation of cold breath against his neck as he turned off the bathroom light. Fred's presence was subtler, a low, steadying calm, like the feeling of a hand resting gently on one shoulder. Sometimes he'd wake in the dead of night, convinced someone was standing watch just beyond the bedroom doorway. And on those nights, the apartment stayed quiet, as if the darker presence had withdrawn to a far corner. One summer evening late, the weeping woman returned with a vengeance. He woke to the muffled thump of the bedroom door rattling in its frame, as if someone outside were testing the knob over and over. The air had gone icy. He could see his breath ghosting in the sliver of moonlight. His fiancée stirred beside him but didn't wake. As he sat up trying to tell himself it was just the wind, a single sob echoed from the hall, soft at first, then rising into a wail so full of grief and fury it made his stomach twist. "Fred," he whispered into the dark, the name barely more than breath. The sobbing stopped. So did the rattling. For a long minute, he sat frozen, straining to hear anything. When nothing came, he lay back down and felt sleep tug him under again. In the morning, there wasn't so much as a scuff mark on the door. That uneasy stalemate lasted months. Each time the woman showed herself, an overturned shampoo bottle, a faint lullaby sung from the empty laundry room, Fred's presence would follow like a counterweight on the scales. To the outside world, their apartment looked no different than any other, but to them it was a house divided, two spirits circling each other in silence while the living tried to carve out a normal life between them. Eventually, curiosity got the better of him. He wanted to know who she was, this sad, furious figure who shrieked in his dreams. Digging through old library records and local historical society notes, he pieced together the story. Decades earlier, the river had been dammed to power a Ford plant. The farmland that once lined the banks was flooded, whole homesteads swallowed by the rising water. One of those farms had belonged to a man who married a young woman from New York. She hated the isolation of rural life and, according to neighbors' gossip, never wanted children. But she conceived anyway. Sometime after the baby was born, her brothers traveled west to take the infant back east. Why, no one knew for sure. In the struggle that followed, the woman fled with the baby and vanished. No one ever found her body. Locals speculated she'd fallen from the rocky bluff above the river while trying to escape, swept away by the current before anyone could reach her. He couldn't prove it, but in his gut he was certain the woman in the apartment, the one who screamed for him to leave, was that long-lost farmer's wife still clutching her child and still trying to defend what she thought of as her home. After learning her history, his anger toward her softened. Didn't erase the terror she inspired, the slam of doors, the icy breath in the shower, but it lent it a terrible logic. She was trapped between two worlds, still running with her child in her arms. Fred, on the other hand, seemed to remain what he'd always been, a stalwart protector. Sometimes, late at night, the faucet in the bathroom would twist on by itself after a guest had scoffed at the idea of ghosts, Fred's little calling card. Other times, the closet door would ease shut just as a cold draft seeped through the bedroom. Fred had his mischief, but he was no enemy. The most violent night came in early autumn. He'd been working late and came home exhausted. The fiancé was already asleep. Around 2 a.m., the apartment heater kicked off, leaving the place eerily silent. Then the bedroom door began to click, open, shut, open, without moving more than an inch. He sat up just in time to see a black, human-shaped shadow slip across the wall, pause at the edge of the bed, and lean down as if to study his sleeping fiancée. He threw himself upright with a shout. The shadow straightened and glided backwards toward the hallway, dissolving into the dark. The air went still. He could feel his pulse hammering in his ears. The next morning, he found nothing disturbed. Not a hinge loose, not a footprint on the carpet. But he knew Fred had been there. He could sense the echo of the same quiet strength that had stood between them and the weeping woman since that first chaotic night. When they finally moved away after 2.5 uneasy years, he didn't forget. Standing in the empty doorway on the last day, he murmured, "Come on, Fred. Time to go." And in that small, unremarkable moment, he swears the air shifted, as if someone unseen had brushed past his shoulder on the way out. They left that lakeside apartment behind, yet he often wondered if the woman with the baby still lingered there, pacing the narrow hallway in the dark, guarding a home long gone beneath the water. She had been part of their lives for only a few years, but Fred had been there for decades. As they unpacked boxes in the new place, he found himself waiting for that first small sign. A faucet twisting on by itself, the bathroom door easing shut against a draft. For a while, nothing happened. Then one night, while he was stacking dishes in the kitchen, the cold water tap hissed to life on its own. He didn't startle this time. He just smiled and said, "Good to see you made it, Fred." Fred had followed them again, loyal as ever. The years rolled forward. The marriage didn't last. The woman who'd shared the haunted apartment eventually became his ex-wife, but Fred remained part of the family's private mythology. He was spoken of like an eccentric relative, one who stayed out of sight yet made himself known in quiet ways. When friends teased that ghosts couldn't possibly touch the living world, Fred almost always proved them wrong by turning on the kitchen sink or rattling a cupboard door until everyone fell silent. Despite the pranks, the family saw him as a protector, a presence that had once saved a man's life outside an apartment in the 70s and later defended their home from something far darker. In retelling the story now, nearing 30 years old, the narrator sometimes reflects on how that unseen ally shaped his sense of the world. Most kids grow up with imaginary friends they outgrow by the time they hit school. His family grew up with Fred, a shadow who crossed state lines with them, who refused to be confined to a single house, who left pencil-written proof of his name on a kitchen table decades ago. And while Fred's antics had often been more nuisance than terror, faucets, doors, the occasional thump in the hallway, there had been nights that reminded them all that the barrier between the living and the dead can fray in unpredictable ways. The night of the locked apartment door and the violent crash of unseen furniture still plays in his memory like a scene from a war film, one where the combatants were invisible. He still remembers the first time as a small boy wrapped in a cartoon-patterned blanket during a storm, when he heard those running footsteps and saw a tall shadow cut across the living room. He remembers the blanket's damp warmth against his cheek and the silence after the power failed. At the time, he thought he'd imagined it. Now he knows it was Fred, his earliest glimpse of the unseen figure who would become both guardian and mystery. When asked today whether he believes in ghosts, he doesn't hesitate. "Yes," he says, "but not all of them are the same. Some come to harm you, and some come to stand between you and the harm." Even now, Fred's presence seems to surface during family gatherings, a door that refuses to stay shut until someone jokes about him, a ripple of cool air across the back of the neck. During an argument that's about to boil over, as if Fred is still keeping watch, still nudging events toward calmer shores. And though the narrator has lived in other towns and other apartments since, he still catches himself pausing on the threshold of each new place before closing the door behind him, quietly saying out of habit, "Come on, Fred. Time to go." Because after a lifetime with an invisible guardian at your shoulder, you never really feel like you're moving in alone.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.